The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, you know, I did say I was in California last week, and so I did check out some of the dispensaries. And as I mentioned before, when I went to Denver, I did bring up that I tried Mike Tyson's weed, Tyson 2.0. I tried the flower, and then I also tried the pre-rolls, which I referred to as a knockout because, yeah, that's what the weed did. It knocked me the fuck out. Well, luckily, they had it in California, too. And so not only did I get some flower as well, because of course I was going to re-up on that shit for sure, but I tried the gummies referred to as Mike Bites. First of all, they're hilariously in the shape of an ear that has a chunk missing out of the ear. So that's pretty hilarious, but they taste great. And holy shit, they are a knockout just like the weed. So shout out to Mike Tyson, loving the Tyson 2.0 weed. And if you would like to become a sponsor, I am happy to oblige that because this would be the perfect show for you to sponsor since I am a stoner and a sports fan and actually a huge fan of yours. So Tyson 2.0 sponsorship, please. That would be awesome. But anyways, let's get right into NFL and the Monday Night Football game. Which actually started out not that horrible of a game, but ended up a shocking ass-kicking. The Chicago Bears ended up getting the win over the Patriots 33-14. And it was quite hilarious just because, you know, it was for Mac Jones' first game back from his injury, and he came out and did not look good at all. He looked off, to say the least, and, you know, he was throwing some ducks, but to me, that's what he's always been. He just throws ducks all the time, and he just, to me, is not a good quarterback, but the Patriots fans, apparently, they agree with me, and at one point in the game, they were shouting, we want Zappy, and so Bill Belichick ended up going to Zappy at quarterback, and he ended up finishing the game. Now, the hilarious thing is he did provide them with a spark, to actually take the lead in the beginning of the game. But as the game went on, especially in the second half, that shit got away from him. He wound up having two interceptions, and it just was an overall horrible game for the New England Patriots. And the Bears looked like a fantastic team. Don't really know what to think about it just because I don't really consider the Bears that great of a team, but hey, it was a good win for them. They went to New England, and really nobody believed in them, and they got a huge win, 33-14. Now it was announced today that it looks like Mac Jones is going to be the starter for the next game. But it was very interesting to see, that actually happened to the Patriots. And, in my opinion, I actually do think, Bailey Zappe is the better quarterback than Mac Jones. He at least has a spark. He gives them he just looks like he has a little bit more zip on his pass, and he seems a little bit more wily of a quarterback. Whereas Mac Jones, he just throws a lot of ducks, and he doesn't move a lot, and now he's injured, and so we'll see what happens with that if he maintains the starting quarterback position or the starting quarterback role for the Patriots. But got to watch out for Zappe there. I kind of would rather have Zappe be the guy just because I'd like to continue to say his name for a little while longer. But, I mean, comparing the two of them, it's really like comparing shit to puke, basically. So good luck to you, Patriots fans. So let's get right into my top 10 NFL power rankings for this week, starting with the number one team. I've got to keep them up there. They are on a bye week, so but it's the Philadelphia Eagles. They are 6-0. I'm not just keeping them up there just because they're undefeated. They just are a really good team. Jalen Hurts is having a great season. So far, he's passed for 1,514 yards, 6 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions. Then he's also rushed for 293 yards and 6 touchdowns. So he's just having a phenomenal year. The ground attack's doing great. Their offensive line is doing great. Defensively, that front 7 just can't be stopped. And really, I think at least so far, the Eagles look for real. And unfortunately, I still have to keep them at number 1 on my power rankings. Then at number 2 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got the Buffalo Bills. They are also coming off of a bye week this week. So they're just coming off of that big win against Kansas City last week. They are 5-1 on the season. Josh Allen is just killing it this year. He's passed for 1,980 yards on the season with 17 touchdowns and only 4 interceptions. So he's having a very efficient season, along with his wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, who's got 656 yards receiving and 6 touchdowns on the season. So this offense has really got it going. And defensively, they're looking really solid, too. I mean, they're causing turnovers, and they're just really holding it down when they need to hold it down. And so, overall, I think the Bills look like the most complete team this season. But they do have that one blemish, whereas the Eagles, they don't really even the games that have been close, they've pretty much dominated the game. So that's why I have to put the Eagles above them. But I do think the Bills are the better team. Then at number 3 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got the Kansas City Chiefs. Overall record of 5-2, and they took it to the San Francisco 49ers this weekend. It looked like it was going to be a close battle, but then, boom, the Chiefs just opened up a can and just were scoring like no other. Patrick Mahomes is having an MVP-type season so far. He leads the league in passing yards with 2,159 yards and 20 touchdowns and only 5 interceptions. So he's had a very efficient year, and it was expected that the load was going to be on his shoulders this season. And so far, he has answered any questions about whether he can do that or not. And then Travis Kelce actually leads the league with receiving touchdowns with 7 touchdowns. So both he and Kelce are having a very efficient offensive season so far. Chiefs defense is okay, but they really did hold it down against the 49ers last week, and they just look like a great team so far. And they also have the great coaching and the experience in the postseason. So you look at the Chiefs and it's like, wow, the same old Chiefs. Then at number 4 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got the Minnesota Vikings, who are coming off of a bye week. But they are 5-1 on the season, and just they are a very efficient team. They look good. I don't really know if I believe in them quite yet, just because they are known to be that regular season team where they just blow you out of the water, then come playoff time, they just lay an egg. So I don't know how much I believe in them, but right now I've got them at number 4. They've got a solid record. Offensively, they look pretty good. Kirk Cousins has been very efficient for the most part. He has had a few mistakes, but overall, I mean, he's not the only offensive weapon they have. You know, Dalvin Cook has had a very solid season. He's got 4 touchdowns. Justin Jefferson has been phenomenal. He's got 654 yards and 2 touchdowns. So offensively, the Vikings are looking really good. Defensively, they're holding it down. We'll see how they do the rest of the season, but so far Vikings are looking pretty solid. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got my Dallas Cowboys. Record of 5-2 right now. They played a pretty good game against Detroit. I would have preferred a much bigger ass kicking, but whatever. Defensively, they are just dominating this league right now. They had 5 turnovers in the last game. Stephon Diggs, he's back at it with, he's got 3 interceptions on the season already. Micah Parsons, he has 8 sacks on the season. They actually just credited him with another sack from this past game, because, they review stats, and, apparently they counted, incorrectly that he didn't get a sack in the game. So they corrected that stat today, and he actually did get two sacks in that last game as opposed to just 1. So he does have 8 sacks on the season. That puts him in second place behind Matthew Judon of the New England Patriots, who's got 8.5 sacks on the season. So Micah Parsons, he is just a force. Defensively, the Cowboys look solid. Offensively, not too bad. Dak, it's tough to tell what he's going to look like the rest of the season. He did start off the Detroit game very shaky, but was able to put it together and have a very efficient game. The ground attack I've really enjoyed just because it's very balanced, but it looks like that Zeke is going to miss this week's game, or at least that's the news today, because he apparently is having some issues with his knee, which doesn't surprise me because he took a pretty big shot to the leg in the Detroit game. So defensively, I like what I see from the Cowboys. Offensively, very solid and efficient. I don't know if it's going to be enough to get them to the Super Bowl, but hey, right now I'm pretty happy with what I'm seeing from the Cowboys. Then at number six on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the New York Giants, 6-1. Don't know how they keep doing it, but they do. They just took out the Jacksonville Jaguars in another close game this week. Saquon Barkley, he just continues to have another great season. He's got 726 rushing yards on the season and 4 touchdowns so far, and he really is the driving force as to why this offense is at least getting a position and able to score. And for some reason, they just keep getting these wins. I really don't believe in the Giants. I wouldn't be shocked if they're a team that ends up not making the playoffs. But hey, right now, the NFC East is looking really damn good for being the laughing stock of the league the last couple of seasons. You've got three teams where you got the Eagles at 6-0, Cowboys at 5-2, and the Giants at 6-1. These teams, nobody really believed in the Cowboys or the Giants, and the Eagles, it was kind of like 50-50 with everybody, but right now the NFC East is looking like the top dog in the NFL right now. So, then at number seven on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got the Cincinnati Bengals, who are just catching fire, especially on offense. They are 4-3 right now. They just took it to Atlanta this past week. Joe Burrow he is just having another great season. He's passed for 2,097 yards so far, 15 touchdowns and only 5 interceptions, so he's doing great. Jamar Chase is having another great season also with 605 receiving yards and 6 touchdowns, and they're just scoring a lot of points. Offensively, they've put it together, and defense is holding it down. So we'll see if they're able to continue this going throughout the season. I don't know if they're a really dominating team. I don't know if I really trust them just yet, but offensively, they're starting to get it together, and Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase both are looking very solid, at least so far. Then at number eight on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the New York Jets. Currently, a record is 5-2 this past week. They just got by the Denver Broncos. They actually have not lost a game since Zach Wilson has come back from injury, so that's very good for them. Unfortunately, they lost their star rookie running back, Breece Hall, to an ACL injury. He's going to be out for the rest of the season, and he's really been a huge force, especially over the last couple of weeks. He's really been building and getting better and better each and every week, and it kind of seemed like he really took it to another level in the Denver game, but then he unfortunately got injured because that is football. But so far from what I'm seeing from the Jets, they like I said, I don't know if they're a legit team for the playoffs, but right now they're looking very solid. Defense is looking really good. Quinnen Williams is having a hell of a season so far. And Robert Saleh, he's coaching his ass off right now. So the Jets playing very well right now, and I've got them ranked at number eight this week. Then at number nine on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Baltimore Ravens, overall record of 4-3. They just got by the Cleveland Browns this past week. Other than Lamar Jackson, I really question a lot about this Ravens team. Jackson so far on the season has passed for 1,397 yards, 13 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, with 510 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. So he's having a very solid season, but I think a lot too much is being asked of him. Like I've continued to say all season, I don't know what it is they're doing at wide receiver, but they need help at the wide receiver position, and I don't know why they won't get him the help at the wide receiver position. Lucky for them, their ground attack is very deep and very good. It seems like the next man up is always able to step it up and have a very solid game for them. But you kind of feel like at some point that's going to catch up to them. The defense has been solid for the first half of every game, but then once the second half rolls around, they really start to lose it. And so I kind of feel like that's going to cost them games as the season wears on. But, you know, Lamar Jackson, he's having a great season so far. But we'll see what happens with the Ravens. But right now, I don't really think they're looking that hot. And they've got a big matchup coming up tomorrow against the Buccaneers. And it was kind of a difficult choice for me to go back and forth between those two teams on who I think is going to win. But right now, I've got the Ravens ranked at 9. And then rounding out my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got the Seattle Seahawks, a team I did not expect to sniff my top 10 this season at any point. But right now, they are too hot to handle, and I couldn't not put them at least the 10th position. They just killed the Chargers this week. Geno Smith is having quite the resurgence. I don't know if it's like for real or if it's just he's having that one hit type of wonder season. But hey, good for him. Right now, he's passed for 1,712 yards, 11 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions. So he's not turning the ball over, and he's scoring a lot of touchdowns, and he's hell of efficient this season. I mean, hell of efficient. You know, right now the Seahawks are rocking and rolling. I don't know how long that's going to last because I don't really believe in them at all. But hey, they're winning some big games. They're beating some good teams, and had to put them in my top 10. All right, and then we've got Thursday Night Football tomorrow night. It's going to be the Baltimore Ravens at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Neither team has really convinced me that they are a solid team right now that even has an identity. I think both teams are still searching for an identity. While I think both teams are good and they have positive things to say about them, they also have a lot of negative things you could say about them. Right now, Baltimore is actually a 1.5-point favorite over the Bucs, which says a lot because the Bucs are at home. But I do expect this to be a close battle. You know, Tampa is coming off of a poor offensive performance last week, so I expect them to bounce back this week. And, you know, like I've said about the Baltimore defense, they aren't holding it down in the second half, and I kind of feel like that is going to cost them some games. It already has cost them a couple of games, and I feel like this is going to be one of those games where it's going to come down to maybe where it's tied, you know, on the last drive of the game. And if you got Tom Brady driving it down the field, chances are dude's going to get his team into at least field goal position. And I feel like this is going to be that type of game where the Bucs are just going to take it down the field on the last drive and score a game-winning touchdown or field goal. And I've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning this one 23-20. All right, and now moving on to the AP College Football Top 10 rankings for the week. Not a lot of shakeups in the top 6, and just because not a lot happened this week. So we still got Georgia at number 1. They are 7-0. They just beat up Vanderbilt 55-0, and they will be playing Florida this week. Then at number 2, we've got Ohio State, who are 7-0. They just walloped Iowa 54-10. They do have a big game this weekend against Penn State. They are at Penn State, so they really need this win. I feel like if Ohio State gets this win, it should, in my opinion, put them above Georgia. Even if it's a close game, I feel like it should put them above Georgia at number 1, but we'll see. For some reason, Georgia and Alabama, SEC teams always get like a better rep with these voters, and Ohio State, for some reason, is not. And I think they're a very good team this year. I feel like they've been the number 1 team for the majority of the season. So if they get this win at Penn State, I feel like they should be number 1, but we'll see how that goes. But if they lose, then obviously they should be nowhere near number 1. Then at number 3, we've got Tennessee, who are 7-0. And man, they won their game against UTM 65-24. They do have a big game this weekend against Kentucky, who is ranked 19, and they've had a very, very good season. So I actually would be on upset alert if you feel like Tennessee's going to lose at any point this season. This game against Kentucky might be it, just because it is a division opponent, and Kentucky has been a huge surprise for most. So I would not be shocked to see Tennessee get upset this weekend against Kentucky. Then at number 4, we've got Michigan, who are 7-0. They were the ones who handed Penn State their first loss. They killed Penn State 41-17. And this weekend, they will be playing Michigan State. So we'll see how that goes. And then we've got number five, Clemson. They are 8-0 on the season. They just beat Syracuse 27-21, and they will be at Notre Dame. Then number six, we've got Alabama, who are 7-1 on the season. They just beat Mississippi State 30-6, and they will be at LSU next weekend. Oh, I'm sorry, and looking at Clemson's schedule, they will be playing Notre Dame next weekend, not this weekend. So Clemson's got a bye this week, and they will be playing Notre Dame next week. And Alabama also has a bye this week, and they will be at LSU next week. So that should be a big game for them. But I don't really, you know, Alabama already has the one loss on the season, so chances are they're probably not going to lose another one. Then at number seven, we've got TCU, who are 7-0, and they just beat Kansas State this week, 38-28, and they will be at West Virginia this weekend. Then at number eight, a team that has really turned it on. I mean, they started the season off so bad, and now they've just really got rolling, and that would be Oregon. They are 6-1 on the season. They just beat UCLA 45-30, and they will be at Cal this weekend. Then at number nine, we've got Oklahoma State, who just took care of my Texas Longhorns this weekend, 41-34. They will be at Kansas State this weekend, who are ranked 22nd, so we'll see how that goes. I still think Oklahoma State's going to win that one. Then we have two teams ranked at number 10. I don't know how that works, but we've got two teams ranked at number 10 this week, and that would be USC, who is 6-1 on the season. They just had their first loss this weekend against Utah, 43-42, and they will be at Arizona this weekend. And then Wake Forest is also number 10, ranked at number 10. They're 6-1, and they just beat Boston College this weekend, 43-15, and they will be at Louisville this weekend. And we do have a little bit of retarded hysteria of the day. I just mentioned my Longhorns getting beat by Oklahoma State on Saturday, and Coach Sarkisian is under fire right now because, get ready for it, people, because he didn't sing the Texas fight song at the end of the game, or at some point in the game. I'm not exactly 100% sure, because I think this hysteria is absolutely stupid, of course, considering, you know, it's under the retarded hysteria of the day category. But this is the perfect example of why I love football just in general. But if you ask me what I'd rather watch, I'm choosing the NFL all day, 100 times out of 100 over college football, just because, A, the level of play is much, much better in the NFL. But also, I hate this sing-along bullshit. I think marching band music is like the worst music on the planet. And guess what, people? I actually played in marching band. I'm a drummer. I've been playing the drums since I was 12 years old. And I had the unfortunate experience of being in marching band in high school, in my 9th and 10th grade years of high school. As a matter of fact, the only reason why I did marching band is because at the end of the year, we got to go to Disneyland. And you know me, I'm not ever turning down a trip to Disneyland. And also, we got to see a bunch of cool stuff that the regular people don't get to see. We actually got to go behind the scenes and go into this cool little orchestral area where Disney like records all their stuff. So we got to do some cool stuff. But anyways, I hate marching band music. And so that is one of the drawbacks with college football to me, is I just hate listening to that shit. But like, so that's why, like, I really haven't attended a lot of Longhorns games. You know, I do live in Austin. And I've only been to one Longhorn game many years ago, like when I first moved here. I went and saw them play UCLA, just because I definitely wanted to see that game for sure, because I'm a fan of both Texas and UCLA, and so I was going to be happy with whoever won. But that's the one and only time I went to a Longhorns game. One, because the Longhorns have sucked basically the whole time I've moved here for the most part. So I don't really want to waste my money on seeing them get beat by shitty teams like Kansas State, for example. But also, I hate the sing-songy bullshit. And to hear that people are criticizing the coach because, oh my God, he didn't sing The Eyes of Texas after a loss, like, it's so stupid. and so retarded that people are upset about this. And of course, he had to apologize for it the other day as well, because, oh my God, he didn't sing along to the school song. Just fucking stupid. Like, Americans need to get real fucking problems. I don't know, you might want to, like, hit up the Ukraine and talk to them about real problems, because over here, the shit we complain about is fucking stupid compared to the real shit that goes on all around the world. But, yeah, Steve Sarkisian did not sing the Texas fight song, and the horror, right? So, that was a retarded hysteria of the day. And, so, yeah, we've got World Series starting on Friday. We've got football tomorrow. And we also have basketball going on the rest of the week, too. Hockey also. So sports galore. You know, this time of year is the best time of year to be a sports fan. So I hope you all enjoy the rest of the week of sports. And I will talk to you fools on Friday.